Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service with me, Catherine Davis. And today I'm taking you back to March 1990 and the biggest art heist in US history. It's the middle of the night in Boston, the early hours of the 18th of March, and the St. Patrick's Day parties are still going strong. A car pulls up beside one of the city's most treasured institutions, the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. Two men in police uniform get out and make their way to the employee entrance. The time is 1:24 in the morning.
One of the guards was doing his rounds. While this is going on, his partner is at the watch desk and he's watching on the computer. The guard has camera monitors in front of him, four. It's kind of a dark and murky image, and he says that from what he can see, he thought he saw the outline of police hats. And then he heard the message on the intercom, Boston police were responding to a disturbance.
Anthony Amore is the museum's current head of security and one of the lead investigators into the robbery.
The two men disguised as police officers entered, and one of them approached the guard who was sitting at the desk. And he asked him if there was anyone else working that night. So the guard at the watch desk said, yes, there's one other person. So the guard called on the radio and his colleague from the evening came down the stairs. And at that point, the lead thief said, you look familiar to me. Can I see your ID? The person posing as a police officer said, there's a warrant out for you. Assume the position, which for local people here would know that meant stand up against the wall and let the police frisk you. The fake police officers handcuffed the two, told them they were under arrest. At that point, put duct tape around the faces, the mouths of the guards, and then told them, gentlemen, this is a robbery.
The thieves led the two guards into the basement and handcuffed them to some pipes. They then went back upstairs to the second floor.
The thieves made their way directly to the Dutch room and went for the Rembrandts. And we know this because we still have the motion sensor alarm readouts from that evening. They took all four of our Rembrandts from their location, including the Storm in the Sea of Galilee, which is Rembrandt's only known seascape. The frames in the Dutch room were taken off the wall, two of them, two large Rembrandts, cut from their frames. I think it was probably a very, very sharp object, like a box cutter. It wasn't a clumsy object, and it's a pretty straight cut. It wasn't a messy crime scene. The frames are left on the floor. It's not all the broken glass people would envision or that sort of thing.
Isabella Stewart Gardner was a leading patron of the arts at the turn of the 20th century. Her collection of paintings, sculptures, tapestries, and decorative arts is unique and of world importance. As one thief removed the Rembrandts from their frames, the other set to work in another gallery, taking five Degas works on paper.
Is it possible to tell from the sensor, you know, the sound of the footsteps almost, does it suggest people who were in a hurry or perhaps very confidently going about their business?
Every piece of evidence points to the fact that the thieves were quite comfortable going about their business. They spent almost an hour and a half in the museum, an inordinate amount of time. It's actually quite remarkable that they didn't steal anything else while they were inside the galleries. In the Dutch room alone, there's a Rubens, a Van Dyck, a Durer. On top of that, we can tell that they were quite comfortable because, for instance, when they stole the small postage stamp-sized etching by Rembrandt, they took the time to remove it from its very small frame, small enough that you could easily have carried it out in a large pocket almost, I would say. So it tells us that they knew the police were not on their way. How they knew that, I'm not sure, but they knew that they had more than ample time to do what they had set out to do. At 2:40 a.m., the doors open and one thief leaves. And then just over 4 minutes later, the second thief leaves. My guess is that the first one left with smaller items that someone driving down the street might not have noticed. And then the second waited with the larger items until he could get a coast is clear type message from his partner.
Paintings and drawings worth hundreds of millions of dollars have been stolen from a museum in Boston.
As people arrived at work, they found a bevy of police cars outside the employee entrance. They found yellow "Do Not Cross" police tape strewn across doors. You had police officers, museum personnel, museum conservators.
13 works of art had been stolen in total, worth an estimated $500 million. The haul also included a Manet, and one of only 36 Vermeer paintings in the world.
Because this was such a particular collection, a private collection, was there a greater sense of violation, of shock?
What is special about Mrs. Godner's collection is that she left it in a unique way. She left a will. It mandated that nothing in the museum could ever be moved. Even just moving something would be a violation at the museum, but in this instance, it's taken away. And to see the empty frames, to know that a couple were cut from their frames, it seems a bit more violent in terms of an art theft. I think it shocked people a little bit more in that sense. So I think that was the initial pain from the theft, more than the monetary value that people talk about so much now.
CCTV was in place at the museum, but the thieves removed the videotape before they left. Police sketches, based on the guards' descriptions, show two white men with moustaches, of medium build, one with glasses and one without. Investigators say they haven't ruled anyone out.
It could be that someone who worked at the museum prior to the theft, someone could have told the wrong person about, you know, a good idea as to getting into the museum. We don't know. We do know that the thieves did have some level of inside information, not just in the sense of how comfortable they were or that they brought the guards into this dark basement, but also because the next morning it was discovered that a hidden door in the Dutch room that was located behind Rembrandt's Storm in the Sea of Galilee was left ajar. And not everybody knew about that door. Somehow the thieves did.
From the morning when the theft was first discovered, the FBI has been an integral part of this investigation, the lead investigative agency, and has covered literally thousands and thousands of leads worldwide in an effort to identify the individuals responsible for the theft and also to recover the stolen paintings.
The investigation's been going on for 25 years, with many twists and turns, promising leads, then dead ends. The FBI believes it has identified those responsible, but says it's still not sure where the art itself is. A $5 million reward is being offered for information leading to the return of the paintings, whose frames hang empty on the museum's walls.
Are we any closer, 25 years on, to getting these pieces of art back?
The approach that we take is looking at this as if we're looking for 13 needles in a giant haystack. And our goal is to make the haystack as small as possible. And I can tell you that the haystack is very small at this point. And I do have great confidence that we will see these paintings again.
Anthony Amore was talking to me, Catherine Davis, for Witness. For details of our complete range of downloads, please go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.